at how smooth it is.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Precision Rifle Network podcast. I am kind of mixing in some audio every once in a while with Jason. Jason will be your primary host, but since I just got done at the range and have stuff to talk about, I might as well go ahead and record a podcast. And if you hear any background noise, I am recording in my car on the road. So there's that. Anyway, let me start off with shouting out our sponsors. Title sponsor is Arcan Optics, as always. And those guys make great budget level optics that I think you will be surprised how good the glass is for the money you're paying. A lot of great features. Anyway, shout out to Arcan Optics. Coupon code PRN10, PRN10, gets you 10% off at MK Machining and Coltac on anything you might purchase there. PRN15 for 15% off at Axle Hearing Protection. And yeah, we just really appreciate having sponsors here at the channel. Help us keep doing what we're doing. Some of them benefit us, others, most of them actually don't benefit PRN in any way. It just provides a discount to you guys. So definitely support those companies that support the sport, so to speak. So I just got done shooting a couple of videos here. A little cold, so I shot from inside our little, it's not mine, I don't own it. I borrow it from a friend who is very generous and allows me to shoot at his place. I've got out to about 600 yards, sometimes 735-ish when that target's up and working. Today I went out to 600 and we shoot inside of this little building that he's got, this little shed shack thing that's got some shooting benches built out. We just open the windows and just shoot out through the windows when it's cold, and it's cold. Actually, right now it's 54 degrees, but when I started out this morning, it was like 25 degrees, was very cold. So the first video today was that I busted the AI-AT out of the safe. It's my most expensive safe queen, the Accuracy International AI-AT. It's a sniper weapon system, basically. I mean, that's what it was designed for. It's not a competition gun, though you could use it in competition. It's not a hunting rifle. You could use it, but it's not balanced for that. It's not balanced for competition. It's too heavy. It's actually top heavy. But I wanted to bust out the AI-AT and just talk about it because there's not nearly enough Accuracy International content on Precision Rifle Network. So came out to the range, brought some Berger 140 grain hybrid target, just boxed ammo, attached the Garmin Zero chronograph, got some data. That ammo was, I would have to go back and rewatch the video, but I believe that the standard deviation was 5 with an extreme spread of 17. So really good for boxed ammo, guys. Just the way that I've got the AI-AT set up, it's pretty much in its stock configuration. I've got the OD green skins on the side of it. I've actually got tan and black skins at home, and I keep thinking that one of these times I'm going to send those skins in to somebody who does like hydro dipping or something like that, so they can put a cool camo paint job on my AI skins for me, so that I can have something else that looks cooler than just simple OD green. But I kind of like the original OD green. Anyway, nothing else added to that thing except for muzzle brake and thumb shelf. So I bought a little aftermarket thumb shelf that just kind of uses a couple of existing screws on the side of the chassis there, and allows you a place to rest your thumb on the right side of the rifle for a right-handed shooter, as opposed to wrapping the thumb all the way around the grip, which is typically a little less efficient, less accurate. Maybe, just depends on who you are and how much training you've had in one way or the other. But regardless, I have that. And then I also added the Gen 2 Little Bastard brake up on the front, muzzle brake up on the front, and that really tames down the recoil. It's only a 6.5 Creed, of course, but still, it's nice to have a break up there. Makes it a little more enjoyable to shoot, except for anybody else on the line, right? Running the Night Force Attacker 5-25 with Mil C reticle up on top. That's kind of my favorite choice. And what else? I was using the new gen Warn Skyline bipod, and for the video did a little bit of a review on that, but I'll tell you guys a little bit about it here today. So first impressions, today's first day I used it, and it's really, really similar to an Atlas, with the exception being that the Warn is taller by a couple of inches, and that may not seem like all that much, but on a standard shooting bench, it was actually too much. I had to angle the legs at a 45 degree angle on the shooting bench in order to be able to have a rear bag work out for me. And I couldn't use my standard rear bag. I actually had to go to a full size game changer. I'm sorry, a Schmedium game changer, and use that as a rear bag in order to get all the clearances and the heights correct for using that bipod and everything. Whereas, for example, with an Atlas, with the height that it starts at, like its lowest height on a bench is like, I don't know, whatever it is, 4 or 5 inches. And I can use a standard rear bag that's roughly the same, 4 to 5 inches, and everything lines up just fine. But the Warn is taller. And then also you have the fact that AIs are thicker rifles top to bottom up on the front end of the chassis. And especially if you add, you know, an Arca Swiss rail underneath the bottom of the front end, which I did, it adds extra, you know, let's call it a half inch to the thickness. So you just get a lot of height there that when you're shooting on a bench, you don't necessarily need. I don't think you'd notice it at all if you were laying prone, but off a bench, it was an issue. So I just thought I'd point it out. But other than that, everything else seemed very solid, was able to shoot really tight groups. I mean, that factory ammo through the AI shot sub half minute. I have not imported the group into the ballistic app yet that measures groups, ballistic X or whatever it's called. I can't even remember at this point, but I'll get a group specifically. But the rifle shoots, the bipod was not an issue, and in this game, it's like everything is coming out to compete with something else, but it's just competing with all those other similar bipods, and they all do basically the same thing. Like, I just dropped a video this last weekend of a review of a bunch of different bipods, and I didn't have the Warn yet. It actually came after that I had already made that video. And the Warn would have been right in there with all the other ones. I would have got the exact same type of results as all the other ones, because it's very, very similar to your Harris and your Atlas and your Tier 1 and your MDT Skypod and all the things as far as stability for shooting groups off of a bench goes. Now, obviously, bipods are different out in the field, and a bipod that gives you more options for adjustability out in the field in field shooting conditions like the MDT Skypod can be a benefit when it comes to shooting, you know, positional, uncommon type of positions. But that Warn would have fell right in. The Warn Skyline would have fell right in with all the others. It's another good, solid option. And so no news is good news, right? It's like, I don't have anything bad to tell you about the bipod, other than I found it to be a little bit too high on the AI rifle. I'm going to try it on a different rifle, which will be slightly shorter. I still suspect it might be a tad too tall for me, but we'll see. Came with a Picatinny adapter, and then they also sent an Arca Swiss adapter with it so that I could swap out to Arca Swiss rail if I needed to, which I did for the shooting today. And it was no issues. It shot great. Just had a good time. The AI is excellent. You know, it's just a hammer. It's got the side folder. It's got the swappable barrels. You know, you just one set screw, hand loosen it, and you know, you can take it off, you can put it back on, and it's supposed to return to zero. Now, I will say the one downside today, and I need a little bit more testing maybe, is that I have shot the AI and done the barrel swap test a number of times. I can't tell you how many. I've owned the rifle 5-6 years now, maybe 5 years now, 4 years now. And I've done the barrel test multiple times a year. Nah, that's not true. Maybe I've only done it about once a year. So I've done it four or five, six times, something like that. I've taken the barrel off, put it back on, and tested that it would return to zero, close enough to be, you know, to only need minor adjustment. Today, I was disappointed. It actually was about 6/10 off of the zero. And what that equates to at 100 yards was about 2 inches. So it was 2 inches low when I put the barrel back on and re-zeroed. So I had to, of course, you know, adjust for that and slip my turrets again and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's not a big deal. You know, you take that rifle from, say, here in Missouri, I go out to Wyoming because I'm going to use it for a match or whatever it is. Once I got out there, I would check my zero to make sure that it's good. And if there was anything off, I would readjust. So to me, it's not really an issue because I'm always going to check my zero before I start shooting. But the claim for those rifles is that you should be able to take that barrel off, put it back on, and it will return to zero, you know, very, very close to zero. And mine was not what I would call close today. So that was a little bit of a downside. But, you know, all in all, still a good, you know, fun shooting day, just recording video and stuff like that. Just getting out and getting a chance to send some rounds downrange, first time in almost 2 months, because the last videos that I made were all down in Florida at Altus Shooting Solutions, and I did that trip the very beginning of December. And so you've been watching on PRN all the videos that I'd done down there over Christmas and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so today was actually the first day kind of back from my Christmas vacation. So I know, rough life. I've been doing other work. Don't judge me. Anyway, so that was first video. No complaints. It was fun. But second thing I wanted to do was to take the Vortex 4000, the Impact 4000 laser rangefinder out to the range and get that mounted up on top of my rifle and test that thing out. Because I've had it since it first came out. In fact, I was one of the first, I believe, to get video up about it. And I didn't get a full review, which I kind of did a better job today of getting a full review of the Impact 4000. And again, shout out to Area 419 for sending me over the scope mount for my Zico scope, along with the diving board specifically made for, or in response to, or collaboration with Vortex for this laser rangefinder. It really is solid, really works well. It's a stellar product. So that's good. Got it all mounted up, and the calibration process is long. It's not hard, it takes a bit. And honestly, it's kind of annoying because of all the just little steps that you have to take. And if you get something wrong, especially with respect to calibrating the compass, you have to start over again. Sometimes you have to start over again multiple times until you get that calibration correct. It can be annoying. It's not hard. Again, it's just hoops you have to jump through in order to get the thing working correctly. So I did that, paired it with my phone, made sure it was paired with the GeoBallistics app, and made sure I built a profile into the GeoBallistics app, which then syncs up with the laser rangefinder on the rifle, and you send your data over there, and that's what it uses. And I just wanted to make sure that the 6-arc caliber cartridge that I was shooting today actually lined up from my Kestrel to the GeoBallistics app and the laser rangefinder so that I could trust it, right? And that worked out pretty well. So since I kind of touched on it, I'll go back. The rifle is a Seekins DMR factory rifle, chambered in 6-arc, and it's got about an 18-inch barrel. Everything is bone stock on it, with the exception of the trigger. I did put a TriggerTech two-stage AR type trigger in it, so that I could turn the trigger pull weight down a little bit and have a little happier feelings there. Accuracy of the rifle was great. Like I said, sub half minute groups. I think I put in about a 3/4 inch group and then a sub half inch group with factory ammo, and it was hammer, and it was great. Got the Zico 4-20 up on top of there, and then of course the laser rangefinder up on top of it. And the couple of the difficult things about that, again, the initial calibration, which I did, and then you have to calibrate the laser, the internal laser, so you can turn on a visible laser that is really hard to see downrange. But you have to co-align that with your point of aim, point of impact at 100 yards. So you get your rifle perfectly zeroed, and then you have to turn on this visible laser, and you have to measure the offset between the center line of your optic and the laser in the laser rangefinder. And those have to be co-aligned perfectly. Otherwise, when you go out to distance, those angles are going to cause errors. So you get your zero perfect on your rifle, then you take your laser rangefinder and you turn on the visible laser feature just temporarily, and they've got these reflective, reflective stickers that you put onto the target. You make a box out of these reflective stickers so that you've got borders. And so then when you swing your visible laser across the target, it reflects off the reflective stickers, and you're able to see exactly where that laser rangefinder is actually hitting the visible laser. Because otherwise, you'd almost have to be shooting it at dusk or on a day when there's no sun and it's really dark in order to be able to see that laser. It's just not powerful enough to see it well, and that's unfortunate, but it is what it is. So they give you these reflective stickers. You do that. You make sure that you're within that box. And then what you do is you put another little sticker, about a 3/4 inch reflective sticker, at the exact offset between your scope and your laser. And you put that on the target. And then you hold your aiming point, your point of aim, point of impact through the scope. Put your crosshairs on your 100-yard zero. And then you make sure, through adjustments of windage and elevation, that the laser, the internal laser, is co-aligned and hitting that small reflective circle that you put on the target at the exact offset. And once you've done that, you're good to go. And then you just got to make sure that your ballistic profiles line up. So it's just a matter of truing data, the same as you would with any other ballistic profile. And you're squared away. So that video, I think, will turn out pretty good. It's a little slower paced. It's going to be something where I'm just kind of walking you through the steps kind of painstakingly, and there's large sections of time where I'm not really saying much. You're just watching me fart around with it. But I think it's worth throwing up there on the channel, because I think a lot of people aren't aware of this device or what it takes to set it up or to use it. And it really is quite a cool device for the money, you know, because very similar types of devices previously available mostly only to law enforcement and military costed anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000-$20,000 for similar devices prior to this Vortex unit. So now that Vortex has come out with a similar thing for like $3,000, kind of a game changer. It's bigger, it's quite a bit bigger in profile, but if you're not worried about that small footprint or nighttime IR type capabilities, then it's a really, really good, really good product. I'm impressed with it. It takes your ability to find, range, and engage targets up a notch. It just makes it faster, right? Because all of your data is right there. You get your laser rangefinder right while you've got your crosshairs on the target. All you have to do is glance up, see what your firing solution is, dial it on, and take your shot. It's got internal weather calculation, so it's processing weather for you as well, giving you a wind call. And today my wind calls were right on, within a tenth, through the device. You know, you have to make a wind call, so it comes down to what you input initially, but then it just kind of draws off of that. And if you change angles, the wind automatically changes angles for you, which is nice. It's pretty sweet. It's a slick, pretty slick unit, man. And really, really pleased with that. One thing I did learn about it, which I don't know, I just didn't think about it, right? And sometimes this is the way it goes for people when you're learning a new thing or setting up a new thing. You just don't know what you don't know and you don't think about it. And so what I did was I would laze a target with my scope being zeroed out, and I would laze a target at, let's say, 400 yards, and it was calling for something like 2.2 mils to 400 yards for the six arc. And I went and I hammered the target. The dope was on. Everything was fine. Hit the target. And then, without zeroing out the rifle again, I ranged out to 500 yards. And all of a sudden, the rangefinder was telling me that that target that I know is at 500 yards was actually 550 yards. And I was all confused, man, for the longest time. Like, what the heck is going on? And finally, it just dawned on me that the scope had to be zeroed back out at zero in order for the laser to work correctly. It's co-aligned perfectly at zero. So as long as the scope is on zero, then you can range anything at any range and it's going to be right on. I had dope dialed into the scope, so the laser was off, right? It was hitting higher than I thought it should have. So getting just little things that I had to learn, but all in all, good day. Honestly, no complaints. It ended up being 50, 55 degrees out right now, and a beautiful day to be on the range and shooting some content for you guys. And yeah, just all those things. So just wanted to catch up quick for a short podcast. Probably later this week or even next week, you should be getting another one from Jason. So he did great on the first one to two of the podcasts, and I'm really looking forward to whatever he brings to the podcast community. So if you haven't already, please follow the show, share it with some people, and as always, hit up our sponsors, give them some love. They keep us in business, and we appreciate you guys listening. So tune in again soon for another great episode of the Precision Rifle Network podcast.